Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Psychic Funhouse. This is your co-host, Michael J. Espinoza, Psychic to the Stars. And I am here today with my lovely co-host, Laurence Birch, also known as the Shamanic Birch. Hello, Laurence.
Hey, Michael. What's shaking, baby?
Everything. Every gravity is starting to have its effect on the body. Everything's beginning to shake.
I bet it is. Oh, well.
Yes. Yes.
You're in the
how
land
are you,
of plastic
sir?
Oh, you should be good. How am I? I'm good.
I know.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Interesting week.
The Northwest.
Very spring-like. We had couple nice days of sunshine, warm weather, and then we're back into the rainy weather. So, a little of everything.
Good.
Weather-wise.
Yeah, at least you guys are getting some water. Send some down here to L.A. La La Land, please.
All right. Well, I got a tanker truck or two ready to go, so look for it.
Fantastic.
How's your week been?
So, it's been good. Been good. Mm-hmm. It's been nice.
Mm-hmm.
Readjusting back to after Sedona. So
Arizona.
It's been really good. Easing back in. Yep.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you. How was your week?
Well, I had a little bit of frustration with my poor pickup truck. I think I shorted something out replacing the battery, so I'm going to have it looked at. But
uh-oh.
I know. Hopefully it won't cost me an arm and a leg. But,
Yeah. Well, I hope you get that fixed.
You know how to fix cars?
All right.
You want to come up check it out?
The only way I can fix a car is to put gas in it. That's the only way I know how to fix a car.
Oh, okay.
And drive it through a car wash.
Yeah. Right. With the windows up, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but sometimes you want to clean the inside of the car so you lean down.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I am so excited for today's show, sir.
You should be.
We have a special guest on with us. I know, and I am.
We do.
Yes. So today we have the lovely, the one and only Zing Napzinger. Hello, Zing Napzinger, or just known as Zing.
Hey, hello to you. It's a great day.
It is. It is. And it's so nice to have you on the show. Thank you for being here with us.
I know you can't see me, but I'm in my fairy outfit with my fairy tiara on, and I'm feeling very light.
Nice.
Fantastic. And we appreciate you staying up late.
Yeah. Past your fairy bed.
You're on the... Yeah, it's past your fairy bedtime. So, we are so proud to have Zing Napzinger on the show today. Zing has a master's degree in counseling psychology. She's also a Reiki master, meditation guide, and she partners with the energies of the fairy realm as a life enhancement counselor, and she's also a visual artist. Very exciting, Zing. And just recently, Zing wrote a book, Fairy Wisdom to Live By, which is an account of her life with the fairies and includes stories the fairies gave her to share with fellow humans about living joy from the inside out. She's going to be on a book tour, I think the next 6 months. Is that correct?
I completed two of them, and I've got four more coming along.
Okay, great. And she's going to be up in Salem, Oregon, for the annual Fairy and Human Relations Congress, which is July 21st to the 25th. And we just found out today you're going to be there, as well as our resident shamanic Birch. So you both will be there.
How awesome is that? Yay!
Right?
There are no coincidences.
Yeah. No. I should be there too, right?
I was going to say, are you coming up, Michael? Make it a trio?
I should be. I go to the other fairy conference, which is the Pride Parade in New York and L.A.
Fabulous.
Well, they're not mutual. You can go to both.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, welcome to the show, Zing. We're just thrilled to have you here. I'm so excited to hear about the fairies. So, why don't you tell people about yourself?
Okay. I like stories. I like people. Mm-hmm. I like being on this planet Earth and all the amazing opportunities that it affords. So let me tell you first a bit about my pre-fairy history, before I made contact with the fairies and was having experiences with them, because I actually had an interesting life before that. So in my early 20s, I had a goal, and I didn't know how I was going to reach that goal, but I wanted to live abroad in another language, in another country, and be able to foreign language. I wanted to become fluent in another language. I had studied French at high school and in college, and could speak textbook French, but I really wanted to experience that personal mastery and satisfaction of being able to speak and think in another language. And I know there's a lot of people in this country who do it, let's say, between Spanish and English, or maybe they have parents from another country, and so they speak that language as well as English. And I admire those kinds of people thoroughly. So in my 20s, I wanted to experience this. So I tried finding ways to get to France, and I couldn't find any way that I could get myself there. However, I was working in a place where one day I heard one secretary call across the office to the other that the volunteer who was on their work project in Holland had just left the project, and they really needed someone to fill that position, like, within the next few weeks. And I thought, okay, Holland. If I go to Holland, I'll have to learn Dutch. Well, any language. At this point, I will take any language. Just get me into an opportunity to learn something. So I went to the desk and I said, I'm interested in that job that just came open. I said, what kind of job is it? They said it's in an international peace and human rights office. And I thought, that's okay. I can do international peace and human rights. I was raised in a Church of the Brethren Protestant denomination, which was all about pacifism and working for peace in the world. So I signed up for that job, and within 2 weeks I had my suitcases packed and I was on my way for a 2-year work contract in Holland, and North Holland, it's the name of the province, in the northernmost province of the Netherlands, there on the peninsula. And I worked in that job for 2 years, for a little bit over 2 years. So after doing that, which was a fascinating experience, I remember I cried myself to sleep many times because it's frustrating when you're in a place and you can't understand what anyone's saying. However, the language in my office was English, so I did have English-speaking contact. It was in my goal of learning the next language that I had to work hard at it. But I did it. I mastered it. And after that, I said, okay, where can I go next? And there was a project that came up in Scotland, working in Scotland. And I said, sure, why not? Let's go to Scotland. So I went and took that project, and instead of being office work, it was more like a social work kind of thing, because I was on an estate out in the middle of the countryside, and the families from the inner cities of Glasgow and Edinburgh would be sent out to this country estate for a, quote, vacation to get them away from the ghettos that they were a part of. And so I worked there looking after the children, helping run the big house, starting the fires that were used for heating the house every morning, and taking the children on afternoon excursions.
Can I ask you a question?
So that was, sure.
How old were you at this time when you went
I was 21 when I left. So 22, 23 while I was in Holland, 24, 25 while I was in Scotland. And then I decided that I really needed to get a degree because I had completed 2.5 years of a college degree in the United States in forestry. But my focus had changed. Now I wanted to learn about people, and because I was really interested in stories, not just in doing something for the benefit of the the society, you know, fitting into a cog in a society. Now I wanted to study something that would expand my heart and my being. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I said, I need to study psychology. I'm not ready to go back to the United States yet. I'm going to stay and see what I can find in Britain, because by now, since I had worked in Scotland for so long, I could get home student fees for my studies in Britain, which made it very affordable compared to the cost of college studies in the United States. So at that point, I got myself accepted at the University of Sussex in the south coast of England, and I studied psychology. I did my bachelor's degree there, and then I went up to London and I did my master's degree in London in counseling psychology. So this is my life before I even contacted the fairy. So I was working in psychology. I worked for the health department there and the university in the counseling department for a while, and then I came back to the United States. I went out to California, and I got my adult teaching credential because I wanted to teach people how they could use the principles of psychology to make their life better. So I started setting up meditation centers wherever I went. That was my focus. That was my goal, teach people to make their life better using the principles of psychology. All right, so then I started meditating.
Can I jump in?
And yeah.
So what were you teaching at the meditation centers at this time, and how old were you approximately?
So at this time, let me see.
Was there a certain or specific meditation?
I was in my 30s, maybe my...
Okay.
Yes, it would have been my late 30s, early 40s probably.
Okay.
Yes. And... And then I started meditating more and being more focused about meditation. And I found that a whole new world opened for me in that skill, because then I connected with this higher part of myself. You could call it your soul, your higher self, your God self, your angel guardians, your angels, whatever it is. It's your higher vibrating part of you that it's possible to connect with and resonate with and be aligned with in leading your life on the planet. And I found this, that when I made this connection, it was like this is all I wanted to live for. This was what I had been born for. This is what I was here to do. So then instead of just setting up meditation centers teaching psychology, what I did after that, after I became an angel communicator, I got my Reiki healing training and I started setting up alternative health centers. So these were alternative health centers that were all about communicating with your higher self in order to lead a more adventurous, better, more wholesome life. And I was doing healing in different places, the Reiki healing, and volunteering at the local hospital where they had Reiki volunteers working on all the wards to make the world a better place, to heal people quicker. It was a great way to be a part of the community. So that was my life before I contacted the fairy.
You have a life in service to humanity. It's great.
And so then there came a point where in the property crash of 2008, I lost all the properties that I had been accumulating for my retirement and had nothing left afterwards, kind of crashed and burned, but I had my health. And I moved across the country back to Maryland to live with my mom, and there I had a job teaching at the community college, teaching all these things that I love, healing and meditation and psychology. So I was moving forward, and one day I was in my dining room, and my spirit guides, my angels, said, "Hey, let's go to Goodwill." And I went, "I have so much stuff. I don't really need to go to Goodwill." And they said, "Come on, let's go to Goodwill." So I got in my car, went to Goodwill. They said, "Let's go to the books section." Oh, I love books, so it's always a good thing going to a books section. I went over there, put out my hand. They guided my hand. I touched the book. I pulled it out, and it said, "How to Speak with Nature Spirits, Communicate with Nature Spirits." And at that point, I realized my angels wanted me to learn how to communicate with nature spirits, with the elementals. So I took the book and I read the exercises. It was by Ted Andrews. Read the exercises, did the exercises, which basically you sit down, you say, you close your eyes, you commune, you open yourself to the nature spirits, nature, which is all around us. And you say, "I want to communicate with you," and then you wait, and you listen, and you pay attention. So I did that for a few days in a row, and then I was driving my mom back from some event we had gone to, and I heard this voice as clear as could be, as if it was someone sitting right in the back seat, say something like, "We think you should dig up your yard if you want it to be healthier." I'm thinking, okay. So I said to my mom, "Mom, what if the garden gnomes said that you should dig up your yard in order to make it healthier. Now, my mom was used to me talking to angels, so she wasn't surprised when I started speaking about what the garden gnomes were saying. So she started laughing, yes, just like that, and she said, "Are you crazy? That ground is so hard. It's impossible to dig up. No, I'm not digging up the yard." So I went back to the gnome and I said, "Mom says she's not digging up the yard." So the gnome said, "Well, how about a 6-foot part around the pear tree then?" So I said to my mom, "How about a 6-foot portion around the pear tree?" And she said, "Sure, go for it." So that began my communication with gnome energy, with earth elemental energy. And this voice,
wow,
this energy was, just to describe how it felt, was so amazing, was so strong, so grounded, so like anchored in the center of the earth, so wise. Now, when we're communicating with energy, people can say, "But what do they look like?" Well, see, that's really hard to answer because when you're speaking to an energy, it's energy. It doesn't have a look to it. It's energy. However, these energies that can communicate with humans are so clever because they can choose a form to appear as in order so the human would feel comfortable communicating with them. So when I was saying to this gnome energy, this earth elemental energy, you know, "Well, like, what would you look like to me if you were to appear to me?" And at one point, I was in my office working at my desk, and I looked over, and here was this gnome standing about 2.5 feet tall, standing beside me, a red pointy hat on, red shoes, little red boots on. He picked up his foot to show me that his red boots matched his red hat, and he was laughing his head off at the joke. And he was kind of like a Disney dwarf mixed with the gnomes that Port Van Vliet draws. I don't know if you've seen any of the Van Vliet, Port Vliet, no, anyway,
no,
it's a gnome book that has really great illustrations in it. So he was kind of a cross between that. And he was very clear that although he had chosen an appearance to show me, that's not what he looks like. That was just his, like, hologram to give me something to look at, something to enjoy the joke with. There were other times when he appeared to me when he had the look of a very mature 14-year-old boy, very wise, very confident, like all the wisdom of the earth in this 14-year-old's body. It was just such an amazing feeling. Anyway, that was my introduction to speaking with the gnomes.
That's incredible.
Checking on my time here. I think I'm going over a bit.
You're good.
After this point,
yeah, you're fine.
I was fascinated by listening to his instructions in the yard, and so I would follow his instructions in looking after the pear tree and looking after the black walnut tree and looking after the pecan tree. And whatever he told me to do, I would do. It would either come as a verbal instruction or it would be a visual instruction. So sometimes there would just be this sudden picture in my head and I would see myself doing something and I would know that that was my next step in doing this gardening.
So was your mother okay with the work that was being done in the yard?
Yes. Yes, I always got her permission first. It was always on small enough scale that she was okay with that.
Okay.
And she's been one of my biggest fans throughout my angel communicating career. So she was okay with the gnome thing, too.
So did the gnomes, the fairies, did they transform the yard after? This was all,
not
if
the
it's
whole
even
yard.
Done or finished.
No,
okay.
At this point, all I was doing was learning about how to communicate with the elementals and follow their instructions and come up with a result. That was like, that's what I was doing in this exercise. After I learned how to do that effectively, then it's like we stopped with that kind of exercise for a while, and instead I was led to an opportunity to rehabilitate a horticultural center with six large greenhouses and a glass house. And this horticultural center was becoming dilapidated because its two elderly owners were having health problems that made it impossible for them to keep up with maintaining the greenhouses. So I was asked if I would come in.
Did they lead you there?
The gnomes?
Did they lead you?
I'm sure behind the scenes there were all kinds of things going on. But the way it appeared to me, there would be colleagues who knew of me and my work. And one by one, colleagues would just kind of sidle up to me and go, Zena, I know about this these greenhouses over here. It sounds like a project that you'd really enjoy. Why don't you consider like going over there and finding out more about it? And I think, sounds like too big a job. And then another colleague would come up to me and go, oh, Zing, you know what? I heard that there's this opportunity over here, etc. So once the third one had come up to me, I thought, okay, I'll go find out what it's about. And once I got there, I could just feel that it was the perfect, perfect opportunity for my work. And I spoke with the owners. I saw how perfect it was. So I said to them, I'm willing to bring my whole network of students and colleagues and friends to help you with the rehabilitation of this horticultural center, if you will allow us to contact the fairy realm and make them a part of the cooperative. Excuse me, I have to cough. And make them a part of this cooperative venture as well. So the couple were a Christian couple. They made it very clear that as Christians, they do not believe in fairies. However, they really, really wanted their horticultural center to be rehabilitated as quickly as possible. So they would be willing to allow us to work with the fairy realm in getting it up to scratch and ready for the spring planting and season, as long as we would remove any vestiges of the fairy stuff when we were finished. And that gave us a 3-month period in which to do all kinds of education projects and service projects and therapy projects in that setting during that time. So, of course, I said, yes, yes, I agree. And then I went to the fairies and I asked them and they offered their complete cooperation. And it was fascinating to watch how this whole big project came together. In the end, there were more than 40 people who signed up to come and help rehabilitate these greenhouses for no personal gain. No, this was just for this elderly couple, for their business to help them. And what I offered was classes in how to communicate with fairies, all kinds of fairy crafting workshops. And then we set up a big fairy festival at the end of the 3 months, and I had the joy of putting together a very colorful, decorative, joyous fairy festival. So that's what that project
was like. That's fantastic. So throughout this time then in working with the fairies, did they, in your book, after you wrote your book, so I'm assuming prior to writing your book, did they give you instruction on how to work with them?
How to communicate with fairies?
Yeah.
Yes, we held workshops all the workers who were interested. They could come and learn how to communicate with the fairy realm.
So they gave you information on how to communicate with them and to put into the book? Am I understanding that correct?
Let me ask them how I should phrase it. They asked me to be like an interpreter, a go-between. So, yes, in that sense, they gave me the instructions of what to present to the humans who were working on our project, and I did that. People could ask me any questions they want. I would listen to the fairies' answers to their questions and relay to them what the fairies said about this, whatever it was, answering their question and helping them also, yes, helping them with what they needed to do in order to be more receptive to hearing the fairies themselves.
Interesting.
And after that occasion, then back at my home ground where I had started with the garden gnomes, it came to a point where it was my mother's kind of last year of life, and I had to move back from Florida to be with her constantly. And so she and I made a pact with the fairies in regard to the yard around the house. We made a pact that we would make it a cooperative venture, and to cement this intention, we raised an antenna, kind of like a maypole antenna in the yard, surrounded with a circular flower bed. And that was our symbol of our connection with the fairy realm in the work in our garden. So the last year of my mom's life, we worked together on the different elements of it, using driftwood that I pulled out of the rivers to create fairy arches over the sidewalk, the raised beds, a fairy driftwood bench, a fairy triangular picnic table, a bench that was dragonfly shaped so you could lie down on it and stretch out. Each element in the garden we were creating in cooperation with the fairies. So that was very much a fun venture. And it was after my mother passed away that I then had the thought of creating the book. So what that permitted for me, stories are in the book. These stories are in the book. They weren't intended at the beginning to be, because I had written a different book. I had written a book on mandalas. And when my mom passed, there was a little money I could use to get some writing coaching and get into a group coaching program. So I took my mandala book to my coach and I said, "Here, I'm ready to publish this book." And she said, "That's not high enough vibration." And I thought, "Oh, okay." So I went into the group writing program and all this information started downloading into me from the fairy realm. And she looked at that information and said, "This is high enough vibration. You can publish this." So what happened then was that I took all my experiences with the fairies and I wove them in with the information the fairies were giving me. And that's what made up my book called Fairy Wisdom to Live By. And it's very much fairy wisdom that I was living by and that my mother was living by and that my 40 volunteers were living by as we had participated in various projects the previous 7 years.
Interesting. As you were talking, one of the things I was thinking about is being an angel communicator and working with angels. Do you see a difference between the angels and the fairies, and what is that difference? There is a difference.
It's simply the angels are not embodied per se. The angels are those mm-hmm. high energies between God and humans that are closer to God than to the humans per se, while the fairies, now here, I'll just tell you exactly how it was described to me, because when I was putting this book together, I do not want to make a book that says the same as everybody else. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. I've been a teacher my whole life on the forefront of information to aid human development. I said, whatever I put in this book has to be something that is not out there yet. So this is what I was told about the fairy realm. Imagine that you have a pool of soul and it's starting to differentiate, and there's this idea that comes out from God or wherever, and it says, hey, how about a planet, Gaia? Let's create this planet. Okay, we've got to do what's necessary to get the matter down into slow enough density to create the womb, and then we need all these souls to populate it in different ways so that part of it becomes a grass and part becomes a dirt and part becomes a rock and part becomes a trees and part becomes a sky and the air and part so that the elementals are all there, and then there are the other parts that are the subtle realms that are the energies between the matter and the angels. So you have differentiations in vibration so that matter is very slow. You have what we call the fairy realm, this is what I was told, is that realm of energy which is the glue which holds spirit to matter. So you can't have anything in creation unless the fairy realm is there, because the fairy realm is that aspect of it, that aspect of joy, that aspect of life, which is God incarnate in that thing, is joy incarnate in that matter. And that's what the fairy realm refers to. Or rather, that's how we need to guide people now to begin to perceive the fairy realm and pull them out of the dark ages of superstition and into a way of understanding it that's more useful to the enhancement and evolution of humankind.
Okay. Wow. Fascinating. So in your book, is there something, a bit of advice you can give our listeners, that maybe some type of tool, some exercise that you can give them to help them with their lives, to improve their lives, to raise their vibration, something from the fairy realm?
I think I need to read something from the green fairy Celerine. Celerine was the fairy you could say that the fairies invented in order to be a voice piece for their way of viewing things when the humans who were taking part in our project had a question and needed an answer. By having a character that they could see a visual for and feel connected with, it was easier to communicate with the fairy realm. So the fairies named her Celerine. She's a green fairy. And one of the volunteers asked her, in my life, I'm busy all the time. I like the idea of helping the fairies, but how do I know if I'm being called personally to help them? All right, so that might be a question. Some of the listeners have too. I'm going to read her answer as stated in my book. Celerine's eyes were sparkling as she leaned forward. I want you to know that in this busy world of many dimensions, there are many ways in which you can help others. Here's what you do. First, settle down and relax. Your inner fairiness will rise to the surface of your awareness. The voices of fairy folk are very soft and light. Allow yourself to think about how you want your life to proceed, how you want your life to help others. Sometimes you have to help yourself before you can help others. Sometimes it's by helping yourself that you help others. There are many ways of moving forward, and they all start with stopping and listening to those soft, light voices in your heart. Find a beautiful, quiet spot and settle yourself comfortably there. Have some paper and a pen where you can reach it easily. Now you want to relax. It helps some people to have something to focus on, like a candle or a crystal. If you're going to hold a crystal, we recommend using a green one because green is the harmonizing vibration of universal oneness, connection, and balance. Allow your body to relax. If there is any tenseness in any muscle of your body, give that muscle express permission to relax. Imagine you're lying in beautiful water, floating peacefully. Sense the soft inflow and outflow of your own breath. You are in a place so beautiful that all your cares have disappeared. Now imagine yourself being lifted up into the air so that you're effortlessly flying and can go anywhere you want. Listen to the light fairy voices inside your heart. Surround your heart and these fairy voices with your love. Down exactly what you hear or feel without judgment of yourself or the words. Be a good scribe and simply write down what you are experiencing. Don't think, just experience and write. You'll know when your listening is complete. You will feel light and love, joy and playfulness in your heart. At this point, say thank you to the fairy voices and allow yourself to stay in that energy. See if you can hold on to this feeling even as you come back to awareness of your earthly surroundings. Then see how long you can retain this lightness as you return to the activities of your day. Let what you wrote in your communication with the fairy folk play around in your heart for a while. Don't do anything right away. Stay in the feeling. By following this process, you'll become clear whether you're being called to help the fairies or be helpful to yourself or be helpful to others in any particular way. All ways of being helpful are good.
Oh, thank you. That's amazing. It is amazing.
So that's
one question
that she has answered
exercise.
With how to listen and hear.
That's fantastic. So will Celine help us or assist us in taking some calls, answering questions from the listeners?
That sounds like a great idea. I can see her sparkling right next to me here, eyes all aglow.
Fantastic. All right. Lawrence, you ready to take some calls?
I'm ready.
All right. All right, so we're going to take some calls. First member of the drill will announce your area code, tell us your name and where you're calling from, and ask your question. All right, so here we go. First caller is from area code 805. Hello, 805. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? 805. Bonjour. Oh.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Now I'm
hi.
On. Hi.
Hi,
Michael.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Bing. Yeah, I encountered fairies over. Hi. I encountered fairies over in Ireland. I was in a town called Lepp near County Cork, and I could feel their vibration, and it was wonderful. It was, wow, very healing.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was so neat. Yeah. So I wanted to know if I could get some messages from the fairies today, Zing.
Absolutely.
What's your name?
Donna. Donna.
Donna. Okay, Donna. Hi,
yeah.
Donna. And where are you calling
Hi.
From?
California.
All right.
Santa Barbara.
Thank you. Zing?
When you were in Ireland, Donna, did you have a sense of the leprechaun energy particularly?
Yes. Yes, I did. And I remember everything was so – I used to walk a lot and over to this, like, lake-type place. I was in a farm town. So – and, yes, I did. And also, I remember lying down on the ground and oh, it was so healing. I could feel the earth. It was – just amazing. Everything was so green. I'd never seen so many hues of green before in my lifetime, and it was just such a healing place.
It is such a magical place. I would agree. Well, the energy that I'm receiving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Go on. Oh, no.
You were there for?
I was there for 3 months, so I really experienced the naturaleza of the place.
The energy that I'm feeling right now is the leprechaun energy, and they want to state how this their energy can be taken with you anywhere, because they are the energy of the green, the energy of the healing. They are the energy of someone with a skill who uses that skill on behalf of others, which is creating the shoes for all the rest of the fairy realm. And they also know about rainbows, the magic of rainbows as a symbol of wholeness. The chakras within your body are your own personal rainbow, your own way of transporting yourself to wherever it is that you want to go in your life. And the pot of the end of the rainbow simply means that wherever you go, if you're choosing to go there, it's going to be blessed because of the nature of who you are. So that's the message that the leprechauns want to make sure that you get right now.
Oh, that's lovely. Wow. Yeah, because I've traveled quite a bit in my lifetime, and I plan on doing a lot more. And so I'll take that with me when I go to all these new adventures traveling.
Yay, enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you. Well,
thank you, Donna.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you,
Have
Lauren.
A great weekend.
Thank
You're welcome.
You.
Bye. All right. That's nice. You guys ready for the next one?
Ready.
Ready.
All right. Here we go. Area code 919. Hello, 919. What's your name and where are you calling
Hello.
From?
My name is Kay.
Hello.
I'm calling from Georgia.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What's your question?
My, My question is regarding career. I had a wonderful interview on Tuesday, the third round, and I was hoping that I would hear something back today, but I did not. And I really believe it's the one. Do you see me getting a call next week?
Is this a question for the fairies or a question for Michael Lawrence?
Whomever can answer.
Yeah.
And this is about your career, how your career is going to move forward. Michael, do you want to take that one first?
Let's see what I have here. I get this is going to be very good. It feels like the call will probably come in one or 2 weeks. It feels like they're still doing some interviewing and they're trying to narrow down the applicants here. It feels like they're still doing some work. Yeah. Yeah, but it feels good. Do you have anything for Kay?
You know, what's interesting is I'm actually getting that they might offer you a different position. Whatever it is you interviewed for, Kay, maybe they'll actually have something else that's opening up that they feel you might be a better fit for. But either way, I think things are going to work out pretty well for you with this company because I think they're pretty impressed with your skill set. So I'm with Michael.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and good things happening. So.
Okay. Okay. Well,
so if you'd
like
the fairy perspective on this, the fairy, remember, the fairy level of you is that part of you which is playful, delightful, joyful, and open to creativity and whimsy. All right? That's the fairy part of you. So that is a part of you that you bring wherever you go and whatever you do. So you don't have to imagine just having it be compartmentalized somewhere in your life, but it's like another, I guess you could call it, skill set that you bring wherever you go that makes your eyes sparkle when you look at people, that makes your handshake have a little bit more bounce in it, that just makes your step light as it moves through whatever place you're walking through. And that's how the fairy energy is a part of you as you make your way forward. So let it be.
Beautiful.
Too.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much.
That's nice.
Awesome. All the
best
to you.
Well, good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Thank
Kay.
You.
Call us back.
All
right.
Good luck
to you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Kay.
Yeah. Good luck. As always, the legal department wants me to let all our listeners know that all the information that we give coming from the host or the guest is for entertainment purposes only. So please contact or consult a professional in that area, prospective area. All right. That being said, everybody ready for another call?
Ready.
Yes, let's go.
All right, so here we go. Area code 630. Hello, 630. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Dion from Wisconsin.
Dion.
Hey, Dion. How are you?
Hi. I have a question about the gnome that you were speaking about.
Yes.
Okay, so when you said that you saw the gnome, and he was, like, within, like, 2 feet, I think you said, of you, was that, like, how did he appear? I mean, I've never seen
I was sitting
that,
at my
but...
desk.
Okay.
Well, it's very curious. I had no idea how the gnome was going, how... the fairy realm was going to reveal itself to me, because at the beginning I was just hearing them clearly as a voice. But that's the way I work with my angels too, is I've trained myself to hear them clearly as a voice. So that's how the elementals started communicating with me as well. As a vibration, I would hear their voice. And so I wondered what the appearance would be. So here I'm sitting at my desk doing something either on my laptop, I don't know, and I look over to the left, and standing there completely is this 2.5-foot figure, which, of course, it's with my psychic eyes. It's not it with my real earth eyes. I'm aware of that. But so clear, the image, so present, so I could feel his strength, his joyousness, his cheer, his groundedness. I knew he was presenting deliberately in a specific form, and his total being was there in communication with me at that point. It was unexpected. You know, I didn't know what was going to come. Now, I'm just going to give you some extra information as well. After I looked at that being, that appearance, and had a conversation, and then the appearance faded, and I went to my laptop to type in everything I had just seen so I wouldn't forget it. That night, I went to sleep, and halfway through the night, I suddenly felt something in my room. I sat up, and I looked over, and there was a second gnome standing in the middle of my room who wanted to introduce himself to me. And he was utterly charming. Oh, my gosh, he was the energy of flowers blooming. That's the energy of this person. And anyway, that story's in my book too. But so you never know, once you open yourself to the possibility that earth energies can take a form and show it to you like a holographic form, you never know what they're actually going to look like to you. It'll be unique to you, because there is no one form that every elemental nature energy takes in order to speak to a human, in order to communicate with a human. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's very interesting, though. You're the first person that I've heard talk about meeting a gnome. And obviously you've met at least. So I found that to be, you know, really interesting. I mean, I'd like to meet one too, but I haven't, but I could look forward to it now that I know that it's possible.
Yes, it takes setting an intention and then putting yourself in a space where it's relaxed and quiet, and then, you know, giving it a period of time, but then letting it go, get up, lead your life or whatever. The next day, go back, find a quiet space, set that intention, then get up, let it go, and let it happen in its own time. I don't know, maybe you've been doing that for years already, but that's the best I can give. To me, it's magical. It just kind of happens when it chooses. I can't really go, excuse me, I want to see a fairy right now and have it appear. It doesn't work that way for me.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. It's like meditating like any other manifestation.
And then one day you're somewhere not even thinking about it, and you look over and you're going to see something that will be unmistakable, and you will go, oh my God, that's what I've been waiting for.
That's okay. Fascinating.
And then you'll giggle and feel joyful, and it will be marvelous.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Okay.
You're welcome, Dion.
Did you have a question, Dion?
You mean for the fairies?
Yeah.
I could.
Or for or a question you need an answer to?
Yeah, okay. So, you know the book that I wrote and it started taking off because of the social media influencer?
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, because my day job with the windows is really slow right now. Do you see, like, mm-hmm. more... Do you see, like, I feel like I'm sort of going into a transition where, like, I would be switching positions where my day job would be my part-time job and the book would be more full-time, but I'm second-guessing myself. So what do you see with those two paths?
I'll jump in here. I'm seeing that it feels like this is birthing the writing, but I don't think it's the time right now. It doesn't feel like this is going to be full time at this moment. It feels to me like you do need to do some more marketing for the book. However that looks, I don't know how to market a book, but I'm hearing that you need to push it more and get it out there. Have you talked to maybe some stores or centers about giving a talk about your book?
I'm doing a book talk in July at a library,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't talked to stores, no.
I'm getting you need to do that. Like, really get yourself out there. Start calling some stores, centers. Remind us again, what is your book about?
It's my memoir that I wrote about how a lawyer had, you know, basically stole my inheritance. But the book centers around... Mm. How a lawyer took advantage of my dad over the fact that he had Alzheimer's. And it's really more about elder abuse.
Okay. Yeah. I get you need to contact some centers, community centers, some bookstores, and really get that out there. Really talk about the book. Really push hard here. Okay? That's what I'm getting. And, it will start gaining some traction. But it feels like you have some more legwork to do here. Lawrence or Zane, do you have any information for her?
I might.
With a topic
so,
like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can go ahead.
With a topic like that, a large part of it is the speaking engagements that will sell the book. So the more opportunities you have to present the principle behind the book, what needs to be addressed, then that will aid in the book sales. That's what I feel.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Lauren,
do you want to make more of your living from your writing? Is that something you
yes.
want to do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have anything else that you're working on, getting published, or any more writing, or what else is
yeah,
coming
I
out?
Have. I started the sequel. I'm halfway
uh-huh.
through the sequel.
Okay. Part of how... books and writing get shared these days is through networking. And you kind of have to be, not just an author these days, but, even if you had a contract with a regular publishing company, they would want you to be promoting your work. So it's great that you connected with somebody who's a social influencer and they were able to, show you the possibilities of how that medium can connect people with your work. I think that, that's another possibility in addition to what Michael was alluding to and Zing was talking about is, you know, connecting with people who are sympathetic to the subject of your book or have had some experience with it and talking yourself up. You know, and the other thing is, I don't know what's available in Wisconsin, but there's quite a few book and author conferences that happen in Oregon for regional writers. It's also a place where people go to connect with agents if they want somebody to help place their book with a publishing house. But I would look into attending a writer's conference that's local, that's, you know, something you can afford, and it's also within your state. So you can interest people in what you have to offer and also start networking with other authors and publishers. And, you know, people may already be out there looking for exactly what your material is about, and they just haven't connected with you yet. But, you know, if you're not going to be emphasizing your window business and you want to, you know, make it as a writer, you really have to put a lot of boots on the ground work into promoting yourself and, you know, connecting with people who can help you connect with your audience who's going to want to read your stuff. So that's kind of what you need to start diving into full force, I think.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the messages.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you.
Well, thanks for we appreciate you. Yes. Thank you for calling, Dion.
Yeah,
good
I'm
luck.
Enjoying listening to all of this really great information about the fairies. It's a topic that you normally wouldn't have, so I really enjoyed listening. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Dion, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Dion, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The book, I hear you say it's a memoir. Is it written? What is your purpose in writing it? Is it to have influence in the principle of elder abuse, or is it to write an interesting story that people will want to read?
Well, really both. I mean, you have to make it an interesting story that people will want to read. You know, anyway, you know what I'm saying? But
so it would stand on its own as a story. It would stand on its own just as a story, right?
Yeah, as a true crime story, yes.
Okay, okay. That sounds amazing. I think you are incredible for moving forward with that and whatever your sequel is, and it just has all kinds of good energy all around it. So I wish you the best. Thank you.
Oh, wow, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good luck. Call us back. We want to hear about
it. I will. You know, I love you guys, so of course I'm going to call back.
Oh, thank you. We love you, too.
But you love me best,
all
right?
No. That is a resounding no. She doesn't.
Oh.
She loves me the best. Oh.
I'm so jealous.
No, she doesn't. She only likes me slightly better.
I see.
All right. Ready for the next caller?
Ready.
Yes.
Here we go. Area code 650. Hello, 650. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Zara. I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Zara.
Hi, Zara.
Hi. Hi, Bing. Thank you. Yeah, so my question is, I'm looking for some part-time work, and I'm wondering if you see some opportunity for me, like when and yes or no, whatever you guys get.
I'm going to start here. I'm seeing something within a few weeks. It feels like it's coming. Maybe in 3 weeks. Doesn't feel like something instantaneous, doesn't feel like within a week or two, maybe 3 to 4 weeks. And also I'm getting that this opportunity that's coming to you, it feels like it can possibly turn into like a full-time position. So they might offer it with, you know, the open-ended here, and they can take you on full-time after. Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Do you have anything, Lawrence or Zing?
I might have something. What I'm getting, Zara, is I don't know what kind of work you've been looking for, but what my guides are showing me is that you might actually have better success looking for work that's kind of outside your usual field of experience or expertise. There's something that you've considered doing, but maybe haven't really had that much experience with, or something completely new that you may not have done before, but that you'd actually be really well suited to. It could be something adjacent. So, for example, if your previous career was in something like marketing, where you have really good people skills, but it was, you know, means to an end to sell a product or a service, maybe you could jump into something that was adjacent, where you'd be still working with people, but not in a way that would be marketing them. Maybe something that would be more supportive, or a social service or something like that. And the other thing that's coming up, I don't know how relevant this is to what you're actually looking for or wanting to do, but I kept seeing this image of a chartreuse green, like a really vibrant green ribbon, almost like a river of water, almost like looking at an aquarium. So I don't know if there's something fluid that has to do with your search for the ideal work situation, but I would pay attention to that kind of imagery or energy coming up as a guide that you're going in the right direction, or that things are starting to happen or are opening up for you. You know, that seems a little esoteric, but hopefully it will make more sense.
Thank you. It might make more sense when we get the fairy element of this as well. The fairies are saying, in the meantime, between now and the time when this part-time work opportunity is made more clear, please keep around you your fairy energy. Be in touch with your own fairy energy of playfulness, of delight, of allowing things to come and flow through you. It could be related to that green ribbon as well, because it's a way of being that actually brings things to you that are unexpected, that brings you the job opportunity that you, because you suddenly had the urge to walk down a different street, you saw a sign that you didn't see before, that type of thing. So keep your whimsical, joyous energy around you, even though you don't know what's coming specifically. That way you keep your energies high so that you don't miss the opportunities as they arrive. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
I like that.
Have a good evening.
You're welcome.
All right, sir.
Good luck. And let us know how it goes.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care, Zara.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. All right. You guys ready for another caller?
Let's do it.
Ready.
All right. Here we go. The next caller is area code 917. Hello, area code 917. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, guys. Thank you for doing this tonight. My name is Carmen. My name is
Carmen.
And hi.
Where are you calling
from? My question, New York.
Uh-huh.
How can we help you?
Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, thank you. My question is related to love, and if you see anything coming from my love life or what you see for my love life moving forward.
I'll start here. I'm seeing there's actually, it feels like there's some movement happening in this area. And it feels like I'm seeing a lot of the movement in summer and early fall. So I'm going to ask you if you're like on websites or apps, dating websites or apps right
no.
now, or are you doing, you're not. Are you
no.
connected to activity groups with other people?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so you do well with that, meeting people face-to-face?
Meeting
you
people,
prefer that?
It's a bit slow. I would say face-to-face a bit slow. But
yeah.
More events are coming, so.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I feel the energy really stirring summertime and early fall for you. So it feels like that's when you're really going to start meeting some more people. Do you not like the websites, the dating
yeah,
apps?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's not for me.
Okay. All right. I would say just maybe even sign up for some more activity groups. Because I'm really feeling that you need to push your energy out there. Get your energy in front of other people to meet other people
yeah.
so that they can meet you. And so make a big push.
Okay.
Yeah, it feels like you're going to start meeting a lot of people. So that's good. I think it's good. I don't feel like a deep connection just now, but I feel you meeting a lot of people, which is always the beginnings of a solid relationship happening.
Yeah.
That's what I,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, sure.
And I keep seeing like nature around you. Are these outdoor activity groups that you're participating with?
No, it's not outdoors, no.
Huh. Do you know what that is? Because I keep seeing like being outdoors, like there's a lot of nature around me, maybe like much more foliage around me.
Maybe that's what's coming in the summer. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully, right? You get more foliage. But, yeah, it feels kind of like I'm maybe in the woods somewhere or like maybe at an arboretum or something like that, or a botanic garden.
Yeah, botanic
garden. It just feels
garden.
Like there's a...
Yeah, somebody told me, a friend of mine told me to go to a botanical garden in Brooklyn, that it's amazing there.
Okay.
So maybe
yeah,
I should go visit.
That is a beautiful one. Yeah, you know. You know, I have an interesting story about that. This woman I used to work with, she started taking a class at the Brooklyn Botanical Garden, and she was taking a class in flower arrangement, and that's where she met her husband. He worked there.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Great story.
And yeah, she's like a lovely, lovely person too. Yeah. So I was so happy for her when I heard that.
The other day, somebody told me to go there to the Botanical Garden in Brooklyn, that it was so amazing. I mean, I've been to the one in the Bronx. That one is also amazing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But I can definitely try the one in Brooklyn to go there and maybe take someone with me, you know.
Yeah, or go by yourself.
I'll go by myself with my service dog, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I think that'll be
very nice.
There you go.
The one thing that I'm hearing is something about the fifth date. So as I understand the information coming through, it's like you never really get to know someone, or you can never actually be your real self until after the fifth date, because that's when, if there's any difficulties, they start coming up. If there's stuff to be addressed, it comes up. And so allow plenty of time to get through the first four and then get through the fifth, because by then you'll have a better idea of the person that you're communicating with, that you're dating.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better in yourself by that point as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We'll see if I actually meet someone. But I am working on it, so.
That's exciting. Don't forget to have fun.
Yeah, definitely we'll have fun at the Botanical Garden in Brooklyn. That's just what I need.
Yay.
Yes, it's beautiful.
No. It's like maybe I could even do that tomorrow. Or tomorrow I was going to a autism event. So I'll probably do that tomorrow. The Botanical Garden is maybe Sunday. I could go to the Botanical Garden.
There you go.
It'll be plenty fun. It'll be plenty of fun. And do you see more work opportunities?
Let's see. I'm getting in again summer. So when does summer happen? I don't remember. Isn't that next month?
Both. June 21st.
Okay, so it's coming soon. Yeah, so it feels kind of like when things start heating up, I'm feeling up warmer temperatures around me. It feels like there's going to be some opportunities there for you.
Oh, in the summer in classes.
Employment opportunities. Is that what you were asking about?
Yeah, employment opportunities.
Uh-huh, yeah. It feels like in summer. I'm feeling like warmer temperatures, so I'm going to say summer. It doesn't feel far off. It feels close.
Oh, okay. Maybe a summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lawrence, do you have anything?
Possibly. Herman, I was picking up on some kind of I would say intense, kind of heavy emotions when you first connected with us here on the show. So I don't know how comfortable you're going to be for me to go in this direction, but what I was getting was that there's been some, I would just say, challenges in your background. I don't know if it has to do with your relationships in particular, you know, your romantic relationship or with other people. But what I was actually getting was this kind of intense sadness and even some images of some neglect or abuse or something where you've been harmed, I guess, in some way, which is really unpleasant, and I'm sorry if that happened to you. And I think this is coming up in the context of your question, more so about your relationship, because I think there's some things that are still, you know, some things that you haven't faced yet, I guess, is one way to say it, about your past and about your experiences. And I think that in order for you to move forward, you know, if there's a way for you to get some support or to connect with people, or maybe you're already doing that and you're working through it, but I think it's going to be really important for you to go through a healing process and ideally so that you can make, you know, really good choices going forward about who you decide to connect to and what, you know, what you really want and what makes you happy, so that you're not, you know, just doing things on behalf of others or because you feel an obligation or because there's some kind of imbalance going on there. So I think once those things get addressed, I think things are going to really open up and blossom for you in the relationship department, because you're going to have better, healthier people come into your life who are going to be, you know, concerned about your needs and what's important to you and what makes you happy. So I don't know if any of that makes sense or not, but that, you know, that was what was coming up for me. So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah. Something about my past and feeling those things you're saying about, and then being more open to relationships, friendships and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a part of you that's, yeah, you're kind of more vulnerable, I would say, than the average person for whatever reason. And I think that can kind of predispose you to being not treated as fairly or as well as you should be. And unfortunately, what it means is you kind of have to advocate for yourself more forcefully, I think, than you know, the usual person does. And I think that doesn't come naturally to you, but I think once you get more adept at it, it'll be easier for you to negotiate your interpersonal relationships in a way that'll, you know, be much more rewarding for you than they have been, eventually. So.
Oh, well, I hope so. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's just work, you know, and it's something you're totally capable of. I think it mostly falls into communication and just being really aware of what your boundaries are and what you're willing to invite into your personal space and what you're not, and being okay with communicating that clearly.
Okay. Yeah, got it.
Well, thanks for calling, Carmen. We appreciate it. Let us know how it goes.
All the best to you, Carmen.
Good luck with everything.
All right. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Bye now.
Wow. That was a good show. Thank you, Zing. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you,
Lauren. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zing's book is called Fairy Wisdom to Live by Zing Hofzinger.
Nassinger.
And
no, it's an N.
Where can people get your book, Zing?
Amazon.com.
There you
or
go.
Barnes & Noble.
Perfect.
Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And then it's in the Kindle version as well.
Nice.
And fairy is spelled F-A-E-R-I-E. Fairy, wisdom to live by.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. And how can people get in touch with you, Zing, if they want to do some work with you?
They can find me on Facebook under Zing Nafzinger. I'm the only Zing Nafzinger on Facebook. Or they can send me an email at i.m.zing, Z-I-N-G, at comcast.net.
Okay, thank you. And how can people get in touch with you, Mr. Birch?
Well, they can get in touch with me by giving me a call or a text at 541-344-7534. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. You can check out my Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herbs, my website, givingtreefarm.com. And you can also check out my Instagram page if you're interested in artwork. And that's at Lawrence A. Birch at Instagram. So, Mr. Psychic Stars, if people want to get on your wait list, because I know you have so many clients that you see in Hollywood and Beverly. How do they begin to get close to your magic?
They can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, and you can schedule a session there.
Nice.
Yes. So again, all of our information is for entertainment purposes only. So thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Be sure to like our page here on Blog Talk Radio, and also we are on Amazon, Apple, Google, and Spotify platforms. Like us there, follow us, or whatever way to link to us on those platforms, and you can download us and bring us with you. And we thank you. We thank all the guides for being here, the fairies, the gnomes. We thank them for all being with us today. And we thank you, Zing, for sharing this amazing information. Thank you. This was really interesting. I truly enjoyed
it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Zing.
Yeah. And thank you to my lovely co-host, the Shamanic Birch. I appreciate you, Shamanic Birch.
I know you do. And the feeling's mutual, my friend. The feeling is mutual.
Oh, thank you. All right, everybody. We'll have a wonderful week. We're back here again next Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And have a great week. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Psychic Funhouse podcast.
Yes. Au revoir.